Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot brought to you on this Mitzvah Shabbat Agadol, Tov Shin Pe Vov, is Dav Ein Vov. Kol HaMenachot Tumunot Shelosh Meot Shifa. So our Mishnah begins that every mincha, in order for it to have a beautiful dough properly formed with its proper type of chitim that are prepared properly, you need to have 300 times that you rub all of, now it's either the rubbing of the chitim to loosen any kind of material that afterwards can be filtered out from them, and a shifa would be to actually rub it between your hands, and chamesh meot bi'ita, we'll talk about how many times you need to bang on it, you need to pound it. Now, that makes more sense when you're talking about the dough. And actually, it's interesting that the Rambam actually has a difference between the be'itot and the shifot, which doesn't really fit according to our girsa, but nonetheless, it's the way the Rambam learns. So anyway, what is this referring to? What are we rubbing with shifa? What are we banging on with be'ita? So Tanakhama says the shifa and the be'ita are both referring to the actual wheat before you start making the menachos with the dough of the menachos. What you want to do is to make sure that the husks and any material that needs to be filtered out is going to fall off easily. And therefore you rub the wheat and bang on the wheat, and that takes off different levels of husk and skins or membranes that are going to get in the way of the fineness of the isorin of the sevas. And Rabbi Yossi Aimer, it's a reference to the dough. And of course, the dough, the more you work on a dough, the more you bang on it and rub on it, the finer the dough comes out. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, does he mean only? Are these like actually exclusive, or is he adding? And we'll talk about that as we go along. Kol HaMenachot, there's another question in the Mishnah, which is also a machlokas. How many lechamim are brought with the menacha? So we've been learning all along that the normal level is 10. And kol HaMenachot ba'ot eser eser. So wherever you have a mincha, the amount that you have in the Yisaron is split into 10 separate, whether it's pancakes or challahs and so on. And the only time that we don't do this is the lechem haponim and the chavite kohen gadol. We're over there, as we're going to see, either the Torah says beferish that we need 12 challahs, like on the lechem haponim, or we learn out from the pasuk that it's similar, which is would be true of the chavite of the kohen gadol, that we have 12 challahs and not 10 challahs. The question of whether we're talking about batseik dafka on the minchas machavas or marcheshet, or are we talking even on a minchas seilas? Rashi learns that we're talking even about a minchas seilas, because remember, he holds that in order to make it easier to do the aveda, we actually make it into a dough with water, so that if it's turned into the dough and we turn those pieces of dough, even though we're not baking them, and it's only a minchas seilas, here Rashi says that we actually have 10 separate pieces, and then Rashi is not consistent with this. So I told you we've got some problems here, and there's two different Rashis that are brought here on the page. As you can see, the Rashi in the Ksav Yad is generally considered to really be Rashi, and the other one is a mixture of Rashi and Talmidim and so on. So it's not clear what Rashi Sheet is, because in other places he does not say that you're supposed to actually split it up into pieces, particularly Rashi and the Chumash. It makes it clear that it remains solas the whole time. Okay, but in any event, whatever is going to be baked is certainly either in 10 pieces, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or according to Rabbi Meir, everything that is baked is actually 12, if it's a separate mincha. The only thing that is 10, as we're going to see why, is the chalot of the Todah, and the chalot of the El Nazir. So those are similar, of course, because they're types of challah that are brought together with what's essentially a shlamim korban. And there, we'll see from the pasuk that we only have 10. So there, Rabbi Meir is also maida. Now, the question is, the way that we do the Shifa and the way that we do the Be'ita. It's a little bit strange that we end up with 300 Shifas and the Be'ita should end up being 500. It makes it like very confusing in the count, doesn't it? Says the Tana, actually, it works out very well if you take a particular rhythm. So here's what you do. Shof achas boet shtayim, shof shtayim boet shalosh. So you do one rub and 2 pounds. And then you do 2 rubs and then 3 pounds. Boom, 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 boom. And when you do it that way, you end up for 300 rubs, 500 pounds. So it actually works out very nicely if it does it in that rhythm. Boy, Rabbi Yumi, exactly how do we count a shifa? Is a shifa amtuye viatuye, or is a shifa just amtuye or atuye? So let's imagine we've got the wheat on the table here, and we rub our hands across it, and that would that be rubbing it once, or is back and forth once? That's the Gemara's question. My, which way do we see it? Take. Maybe we actually don't have enough information. And the Mishnah had a machlokas. According to the Tanna Kamma, the Shifa and the Be'ita was done to the wheat itself, and Rabbi Yossi said it was done to the Batsek. Now, what does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says it was done to the Batsek? Did he mean only the Batsek and not the wheat? Or did he mean it's done to the Batsek as well? Tashma, take a look at the Braita. The Tanna Shifa u Be'ita b'chitim. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Shifa ube'ita bivatseik. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi, if he was just adding, he would have just said what he said in the Mishnah, bivatseik. Then we could understand it to mean also in the batseik. If he repeats the whole thing and he says shifa ube'ita bivatseik, then he's saying that it's dafka bivatseik, because otherwise he wouldn't repeat it. So even though certainly seems to be very, very nogea a batseik, because, I mean, that's why everybody makes a batseik, is they do shifas and be'itas. Just watch someone baking challahs, and you'll see that that's what they do to the dough. Hafalpikein, he is learning that it's only to the dough, and dafka, not to the wheat. As I said earlier, the question of whether he meant only to the dough is actually not so clear according to the girsa that apparently the Rambam had over here, because let me just get you the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam brings this in the Pirshei Mishnah, so he must have a different girsa, because here's his lashon in the Pirshei Mishnah that Be'ita Reb Yossi holds is rak bibatzek, and the shifa is af bibatzek, which actually makes a great deal of sense, because the way that we loosen the husk on the wheat is actually by rubbing and not so much by pounding. And the way that we work on the dough is by pounding. So according to the way the Rambam was goris, it actually works out very well. The Rabbi Yossi is indeed saying that the Be'ita is dafka bebatzek and the shifa is also bebatzek. Because I said it's not our gersa. Then the Mishnah said, we've got another machlokas. How many separate lechamim are there in the various menachot? So according to the Tanna Kamma, all menachot, kol menachot, bo'ot eser eser, and the only difference would be the lechem aponim and the chavitim, which are brought shlem esrei, shlem esrei. So how do we know that it's shlem esrei? I mean, that is very clear. It says beferish v'lakachta solet v'afita ota shtem esrei chalot. So that's the lechem aponim. It says beferish in the pasuk how to make it, and it says 12. The chavite kohen gadol is actually learned from gzeira shava, because it says chok olam l'Hashem kolil toktor, and it says by the chavitim me'ishei Hashem chok olam. So each one mentions chok olam, and therefore we have the gzeira shava, that the same way that the lechem aponim is 12, the chavite kohen gadol are also 12 based on the gzeira shava. So what about the menachos in general? How do we know, how does the Tanna Kamma know that all menachot are meant to be brought 10? If, after all, it does say 12 when it comes to the lechem aponim, so why don't we learn out the other menachos from the lechem aponim? Why do we think that it should be 10? Well, There's another place to learn it out from where the Torah openly says 10, which we'll see is not so open. We'll see how we figure that out. But we learned that out from the Lach Meteda. So just like the Lach Meteda, it is 10. It doesn't mean there's only 10, but it means that there are groups of 10, which we'll see very clearly later on how we know all of that. So the idea would be that if the Lach Meteda is similar to why it's similar, we're going to have to see why we think it's more similar. But just like the Lach Meteda is 10, so it means Menachos are 10. But why learn it from the Lach HaMaponim? If it says by why not learn it from the Lach HaMaponim? If it says there, Beferish, 12, so maybe it means all Menachos should be like the Lach HaMaponim. So here, again, the Gemara is going to take this opportunity for us to review the various Nikudais and the Dinim of what are the similar issues that we find in the various Menachos. So we've got all of our Menachos, plus we've got our Lach HaMaponim and the Chavitim, and let's see what it makes sense in terms of similarities to learn from. So our first take on this would be, it's very reasonable to see standard Menachos as being similar to the Lach Meteda, because think about it, they have all of these issues that are not at all the same by the Lach HaMaponim. Okay, first of all, they are all Menachos that are brought by a Yochid. Secondly, they're all Menachos that are brought as an Adava. Thirdly, these are all Menachos that have oil in them, and none of this is true as Lach HaMaponim. Lach HaMaponim is brought by Tzibor. You can't donate Lach HaMaponim, and there's no Shemen in the Lach HaMaponim. And they become Pasul if they're left after sunset, remember? Well, obviously, Lach HaMaponim aren't going to become Pasul. They're meant to be left there all week long. So they don't become Nifsabalina. And there's also the Lach HaMaponim is brought on Shabbos, and it's brought Petuma, but all of the other Menachos are not. So Shelo b'Shabbat v'Shelo b'Tuma. So you have all these different ways that they are similar to the Lach Meteda and very different from the Shtei Alechem, from the Lach HaMaponim, says the Gemara Adarabba. There are many ways that they're more similar to the Lach HaMaponim. How is that? Well, first of all, consider that Shekain, they are basically Menachos, all Menachos are what? Katshe Katshe, right? They're all Katshe Katshe. Come together, we just read through them today in the Kriyat HaTorah. So they're all Kodesh Kodeshim. And the Lechem that is brought together with a Toda is basically part of a Shlomim, and it is Katshim Kalim. So first of all, you ought to learn it out from Lach HaMaponim because they're both Katshe Katshe, so Hegdash. And furthermore, they both actually need Livona. All Menachos, including the Lach HaMaponim, if you include the Bezichei Livona, it's true, it's not mixed in the actual Lechem, but it's on the Shulchan, there's a Chiev of bringing Livona, and there certainly is no such thing when it comes to the Lechem that's brought with the Torah. They don't share that type of thing with the Menachos. So there is no Levona. And not only that, Menachos have to all be matzah, like the Lach HaMaponim. But when you're talking about the Lach Meteda, 10 out of the 40 are actually chametz. So that's a very big difference. And not only that, all of these karbonas, including the Lach HaMaponim, they're all brought for themselves. They're not brought because they're part of another carbon, are they? But the Lach Meteda is only brought as a secondary part of the Teda itself. So there's all these different ways to make it much more similar to the Lach HaMaponim, to learn out 12, not to learn out from the Teda, which is so different, and to learn out 10. So why would you learn 10? Well, I mean, there's more ways here. Hanachlefishin, the Menachos are like the Toda in more ways than they're like the Lach HaMaponim. I mean, we had Menachos are like Toda. We had 6 different issues, and when it came to the Lach HaMaponim, we had 4 different issues. And that's generally our rule when we're trying to make a Ma'atzad. We're trying to figure out what we should learn something from. We go according to the way in which it's mostly similar. So then, let me ask you something. If the din would be Remember that we had a big sugya back in Zvachim about the various lamads that would be lamad min ha-lamad. So remember that when it comes to Hegdesh, we have a very special din, which is ein l'medin lamad min ha-lamad. But since Hegdesh is very, very specific, it's Aveda. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying specifically the things that he wants. So you don't try to figure out, well, if Kadosh Baruch Hu likes this, it means that he would like that. I mean, that doesn't make sense. That's not the way we look at Aveda. And therefore, we have this special halacha. You can't learn something that was learned, let's say, from a hekesh. We can't use that to now learn from that hekesh through a gzera shava. So that was our basic rule. And in Zvachim, we examined every one of the limudim to see how they would apply in the Lamad Min HaLamad series, right? So we had a machlokis over there in Zvachim about what the din is, about something that was Lamad with a gzera shava. Can it now teach something else from the binyan af? Was that included in the problem of lamad min alamad or not? Now, if we would hold, according to the Man D'Yoma, that when we learn something from a gzera shava, we can go back and learn, it can teach something else through a binyan af. So I understand that we couldn't figure out that we should learn it from the blechem ha'panim. But why don't we learn it from the chavite kohen gadol? So, I mean, you'll tell me, but I only know the Chavite Kohen Gadol itself. I only know because of the Gzera Shava of the Chok that it says by both of them, Chukah. So, but we're going back to Man D'Yoma who says that that's not a problem. So, okay, let's take another opportunity. Can we learn the Chavitim being 12? That's so too. All Menachos should be 12. Why would we go to Todah as opposed to the Chavitim? Well, here we're going to have to figure out different ways in which things are similar to the Lachmir Todah versus the Chavitim. So, let's try what we said before. Tomorrow, Mistavra, to learn the Dinim of the Menachas from the Lachmir Todah. Why is that? Well, if you're trying to learn it from Chavitim, Chavitim is brought by only a Kohen Gadol, right? And Mashen Kein, the Lachmei Teidah and all Menachos can be brought by just anybody. So therefore, it's similar. They're both there from a Hedyot. They're also brought from a Nedova. They're not a Chiev. Masha'en Kein, the Chavitim is a Chovah. And furthermore, they're not brought half and half. The Chavitim are brought half and half, half in the morning, half in the evening. So they're not like a Chavitim. That's very special. And all of the menachas, you can make them pigel, because if you have a kavana, you're doing the kmitza, and you have a kavana to eat it chutz l'zmano. So, okay, it becomes pigel, right? But you can't do that if you're talking about the chavitim, because the chavitim don't have a matir. Since there's no kmitza, because the whole thing is put on the mizbeach, so how are you going to make it pigel? Pigel only becomes pigel where there's a matir. There is no matter. So this means that they're more similar to Lachmei Todah than they are to Chavitim. And furthermore, a regular mincha you can't bring on Shabbos, and you can't bring it Betuma. And the Chavitim, you do bring on Shabbos, and you do bring on Tumah. So they're not like the Chavitim at all, are they? Well, don't say at all. I mean, there are ways that they're actually more similar to the Chavitim. Look, the Chavitim can go to Harei Lamela. Because, look, first of all, they have all of this that is not the same as the Lachmei Teira. First of all, they're the standard size of an Isaron of Solet, right? The Lachmei Teira are not an Isaron Solet. We're going to see how they're split up in different ways for the Chometz and for the Matzah, but they're certainly not an Isaron. Furthermore, they require the Kedusha that's put in the Kli. So when you put them in a Kli Shares, you're going to be mekadesh them with that Kli Shares. But the Lachmei Teirah, they get their Kedusha actually from the carbon itself. And it's after you shecht the Teirah, then they become Kedush. But they won't become Kedush because they're just Kli. And furthermore, all of the other Menachas and the Chavite Kohen Gadol are independent. They're brought for themselves. They're not brought as a secondary piece of another carbon, but the Lachmei Teirah are. Furthermore, all of these menachas, including the Chavite Kohen Gadol, are matzah. They don't They don't have any kind of chometz in them. Masha'in Kane, where you're talking about, I skipped Levona, sorry. They are all made with Levona, but not, as we said before, the Lachmei Teda don't have any Levona, and they're all not chometz, they're completely matzah. The Lachmei Teda have 10 lechems that are chometz, and they're all brought for etzem, they're brought for themselves, they're not secondary to another korban, and all of these korbanos require hagosha. Now, the Lachmei Teda are not minochas in the normal sense, and there's no din of hagosha there, and they are all meant to be put onto the Mizbeach. The Toda, Lachmei Toda, aren't put on the Mizbeach at all. I mean, there's four that are given as Truma de Kohen, one from each type, but they're certainly not put on the Mizbeach, they're eaten. And actually, look at this. You got more ways that the Menachos are like the Chavitim than they are. We've got eight different ways that we just mentioned over here in which Menachos, normal Menachos, are like Chavitim, and we've only got six ways that they are similar to the Teda. Now, this was like really great, no? I mean, so we've got 14 issues that we've discussed over here, just pretending to be wondering whether they're similar to this one or the other one. It's such a wonderful, efficient way to just review all of the halachas of different things by seeing to which they're similar. So, but in this case, you said that we go according to whatever is more. Well, these are more. So you ought to admit that you made a mistake, and you should be learning it from the Chavitim, the Kohen Gadol, and say that there's 12, not 10. You're right. But something here is so overwhelming in terms of its similarity that it takes precedence. And that is the fact that this is Hedyot. It's Hedyot mi Hedyot. I mean, look, the Chavitim are so unique. They're brought only by the Kohen Gadol. I mean, like, how are you going to learn anything out from that when you've got a perfectly good example of things that are done by a Hedyot? And that's much more chashev, a point of similarity, than all of the other things. I mean, like, the first thing you think about when somebody says, let's learn it out from Chavite Kohen Gadol, is, wow, what? I mean, Chavite Kohen Gadol is this unique korban, and it's only Aaron, and so why would you do that? And that's actually the svara that the Tanakhama holds, that since you want to learn it out from something that is brought by a Hedyot, we'll learn out the Menachos from the dinim of the Lachmei Teda, and not look to something that is totally out of reach of just a regular person. So we'll learn out from Chavitim. Well, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Rabbi Meir says we do. We learn it out that they need 12. What's the mocker of Rabbi Meir? What didn't he like about what we just said? Well, look, we just said that if you hold that a dover alone begzera shava, namely, chavitim, which are learned from the shtei alechem, I keep saying shtei alechem, which are learned from the lechem aponim, right? So if you hold that something that is lomid begzera shava, such as Chavite Kohen Gadol, that they're 12, and we learn that out from the fact that there's the Gzera Shava of Chok Hashem, so then if you're allowed to use that to teach with the Binyan Av, so then he just went through the same logic we went through. And he said, look, there's eight ways in which these things are similar to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, so we'll learn it out of Chavite Kohen Gadol. And he's not persuaded by the logic that, well, you can't learn out something that's only a Kohen Gadol. You can't learn it out as a standard for regular people. Why not? If it's more similar to that, you can. So then he would be happy with that. You can't complain about it. I mean, it's a matter of judgment. And Hanan Efishin, like we said. If, however, what if he holds that a Dover Alamim Gzera Shava Eino Choser B'Lavi B'Binyanav? So then he can't learn them out from a Binyan Av to the Chavitim. So then how would he know it? He'd have to know it from the Lechem Aponim. But the problem is that we said that there's more Hanach Defishin is to learn it out from the Teda in more ways than the Lechem Aponim. So how would he explain the fact that we went to learn it out from the Lechem Aponim? Because he would hold that in that case, there's one very striking similarity which is worth more than all the others. And what is that? They're both kachin kachin. I mean, why would you learn out Kachikachim from Lach Mitodah? Does that make sense? And that's one of the fundamental distinctions that we find in the Torah between the different types of karbonas. So, I mean, the first thing that you got to think about is if you're learning dinim of Kachikachim, you have to learn them from Kachikachim, not from Kachim Kalim. So because of that, Hegdesh Mehegdesh Adiflei, he finds that to be more persuasive by far than all of the lists that you're going to bring me. They're still not worth the fact that you're not comparing something from similar sets. Okay, so Rabbi Meir said, chutz, we said, chutz milach meteida v'nezirus. So even Rabbi Meir has made that the lach meteida and the 20 lechems that are coming with the El Nazir, that they are Ezer Ezer. Now, how does he know that? The lach meteida, that's not a question, because it's pretty clear, even though it says Behedya, which means very clear, it's not really totally clear, but it's clear enough, as we'll see. Nezirus, the reason for Nezirus is because, remember that it says Todat Shlamav. So the extra word Shlamav is to tell me that Shlamei Nazir gets the same din as the Teira. That was that extra word of Shlamav. And basically, the din about the lach meteida, since the Torah says that this is a truma la Hashem, so we're going to see that the truma la Hashem that we find by trumas meiser is 10%, right? You're taking a meiser min ha-maaser, and it calls trumat Hashem. It calls the lach meteida that are given to the kohen trumat Hashem, which would also mean that there would be 10, and you're taking off one of 10. That, the Gemara is going to come out later with that. So since we know that in terms of the Lach Meteida, since the place where we learn out the dinim of the Shalmei Nazir is from the extra word Todat Shlamav, which means there's some extra Shlami. What's that? That's the El Nazir. So that is Memela telling us that whatever the din of the Teda is going to be the din of Shalmei Nazir. That Rabbi Meir takes for granted that that's true. So when it comes to the Lach Meteida and it comes to the Lechem of the El Nazir, we're all agreed that it's 10. Now, when you're talking about 10, remember, that's 10 for each type of the Lechem, and there are four different types, remember, of Lach Meteida. So we have the Chalais, Rikikin, and the Revucha, and plus we have the 10 that are Chometz. So that gives us 40. Now suppose, instead of making 10 of each type, you just make one giant one, and you make four different types, but all in one big loaf. So Amar of Tuvia Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, the truth is, if you only made four chalot, one of each type, then you would have one chala, which is called chala, one which is rikikin, which is made with the thin, like lechem tanur, one which is revucha, which is machlokas a little bit, whether the revucha means the standard that it was boiled, or it means, as the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that it's extra oil. And then you have the 10 of chometz. So suppose you just made four different types of loaves. Well, Shmuel said you'd be yotze. But how could that be? Doesn't it say that you need 40? It does. But where does it repeat it to say that it's ma'ake? It's only l'mitzvah. If you didn't do it, it doesn't say anywhere that b'di'avad it's possible, does it? But how do you take off truma? The way that we take off truma is we take out one from each type. And how are we going to take out one from each type if we only have one type? So, habaya frushi truma, one loaf, I mean. Habaya frushi truma, now don't tell me, well, what's the problem? Cut off a piece, take 10%, cut off a piece, and give it to the kohen. So then, well, you're taking off truma. No. Because you're going to try to tell me that we cut a piece? You can't cut a piece. Because the Torah says specifically, echad mikol chala, means it has to be one full chala, which means shelo yitol perus. You cannot take a broken piece off of it. You need to take a whole piece. Oh, well, that's simple. What you can do is you can separate out one before you bake it. So you take out one of them, bake it as a small chala, which is given to the Kohen, and the rest of it is all in one. That's what Shmuel meant. So that's what he was saying, that it's possible to take off the one for the Kohen. May say, How can Shmuel say that if it says in the Braita, Kol ha-menachot shiribah b'midat chalatan, if you brought more number of chalot that you were supposed to, or you brought less number of chalot than you were supposed to, or shemi eight b'midat chalatan, kisherot chutz, listen to this. So normally it would be kosher, what Shmuel said, but Shmuel said it specifically in the case of the Lech Metodah. And over here, the Braita says, this is kosher, but not in the case of the Lechem Aponim, where it says, Beferi Shemini, you need there, not in the case of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, and not in the case of the Lech Metodah and Naziris. And Shmuel said it is true about the Lech Metodah, that you could make it all into one. So how can Shmuel argue with the Braita? No, he's going according to another Tana. He said, like this Braita, Hushmo Dama ki haitana, the Tanya, Kol ha-menachot shiribah b'midat chalatan, chalatan, o shemiyet b'midat chalatan, or ksheres, chutz milechem aponim v'chavite kohen gadol. It doesn't say over here the Lach Metodah. So in this version, the Lach Metodah and the Lachem of the El Nazir, you can actually bake into one big challah, and that would be true according to Shmuel, and he can rely on this Tana. The Yesh Amrin, some say even Lach Metodah and Naziris, you are also excluded. But that was the Tana of the previous Braita, right? But this Tana is exactly, which is the Tana Kama of this Braita, is going Aliba de Shmuel, so that's fine. Omer Avuna, there's another case like this, Mincha Ma'afeh. So let's say you made one of the baked minachot into one challah instead of 10. You were yotze. My taima, because the lashon in the pasuk is chalot matzot without a vav. So you can read that chalot matzat, which would mean a single blulot bashema. Okay, so you see that b'diavad, this is a remiss to the b'diavad, that it would be kosher. So Rav Papa said, excuse me, you're telling me only because of that? You're saying, if it would have said matzot, with a vav, so then we would not have been able to get away with it? Haktiv matzot, then Rav Huna would never have said that it would be kosher if it's less than 10. But it does say matzot by the Lach Metodah, and we just had Shmuel, backed up by one man, the Arma and the Braita, Omer Rav Tuvia bar Kishe Omer Shmuel, that even Lach Metodah, they only made four, despite the fact that it says matzot, you would be yotze. So how do you say that? How do I say it? I say they're arguing. What can I tell you? Obviously, Shmuel is arguing with Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that if it said matzot, then it means dafka matzot. But Shmuel disagrees. Fine. So he applies it even in cases where it does say matzot. Now the question is whether Richie has had sufficient rest over the Shabbos to survive the challenge by Doc. Dum, 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 dum. This is your cue, Rich. I see.
Hello.
Doc is getting ready. Oh, my God.
I'm here, Rabbi. I'm here, barely here, because I was at a hotel for Shabbat.
Well, the first
I got back just right at the beginning of the
anybody who had to survive a hotel for Shabbat, it's amazing it's still there. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, okay. Zook a halak a Mishnah.
Lovely. No, you must have had some good food there.
Oh, too good. I'm gonna I'm afraid to step on the scale in the morning. Wow.
Omer Hayaba Yisaron Mishalosh Sa'in. So let's take a look at exactly how much we bring for the particular menachas and out of how much material do we actually derive that amount from. So we've seen before that we're going to, when it comes to the Omer, we get out of one Isaron of the Solet, which is very fine flour. And we do this, in order to do this, remember we're talking about barley because we're talking about the Omer, but in order to do that, we needed to take three sa'ah of barley just to get this. So that means it's 10 times as much, because three sa'ot is based on Yisaron, is a tenth of an eifa, which is three sa'ot, and that means that you're getting one-tenth of the output than from the input that you put in. Wow. Okay, so it's got to be very fine. But when you're talking about the shtei alechem, you can actually get double that. And you can use those three sa'in, and you get two esronot. So it's actually only five times as much. Whereas the lechem hapanim, where you've got 24 lechems, you only need 24 sa'im, and that would mean that over here, it's like apparently it's much easier because it's only three tenths, and for some reason we need much less. Why is that? My time, how come the owner needs twice as much raw flour, unprocessed, than the shtei alechem does? And the shtei and when you're talking about lechem haponim, it's like a small amount compared to both of those. Why would that be? Well, it's very simple. You realize that the omer is coming, first of all, from grain that just ripened. Now, new grain has got a lot of stuff on it. It's got a lot of husks, and not only that, it's got all the chaff, which hasn't yet had a chance to separate out, and it's coming from Saorim. Saorim is a very rough kind of grain that's got a lot more junk on it than Chitim have. So you're only going to get out an Isaron, which is high quality, if you process 10 times as much in order to get one Isaron. The shtei alechem, you can get double that because kiven de mechitinas. You remember, shtei alechem is brought from a much finer grain, wheat, as opposed to barley, that starts off with a lot less garbage on it. And even though it's also coming from new grain, afagadamichodashasyan, you're able to get double the amount of, in a wheat crop, of fine flour than what you're able to get from a barley crop. And you know, if you eat too much of that barley, you end up falling asleep like Menachem El. It grosses up your brain. I would say, Menachem El, it's time to eat wheat. Wheaties, Menachem! Oh. Alon, you want to give him a poke, please? Bad news.
I want my Mapo.
Ah, that got him. Now he's up. Okay. We're going to have to start feeding you lox during the day to keep you going. Right. So there it comes from Chitim. You can get double the amount, two esronot from three sa'in. The lechem haponim, why do we need so much less of a ratio of the raw grain? That's simply because it's both chitim and yashan. So it lost a lot of the junk that was in it as time went by, so there's not that much chaff, and it's wheat, and therefore yisaron mufchar, you can get even from one sa'a. So it's basically much less than the others. Tanrabon, kol ha'menachot shribah b'midat esronan. Let's say you did not bring the amount of flour, fine flour, that the Torah said you needed, but instead you bought too much. So you put, there's many ways that this could happen. They're all involving different issues. You could have piled it on top of the kli, where there's a question over there whether it will be Mekadesh it or not. Or you could have simply used a larger kli than the Torah said. Or you could have put together an Isaron and a Chatzi Isaron, for instance, from two different kelim. But what would be the din? Or what if you brought less than you were supposed to? So let's say you didn't fill it all the way to the top, or you fill it to the top, but then when you used the leveler to get it even, you pushed down too hard, and you pushed down a little bit from inside. In any of those cases, it will be pasul, because if that's the case, if it's got too much, then you're going to have some flour that isn't kadesh in your komets. And remember, a komets that has even the tiniest amount of something that isn't right for the komets is pasul. We learned it out before. So remember, we learned it out from melo kumtso. And if you use less than an isarin, well, that's even worse, because we said a mincha chasera is pasul. That was the, we medayik that way at the beginning. From hanoteret mana mincha la'aron ulvanav, you have to have the entire mincha there. So because of that, it would certainly be pasul one way or the other. How about if you made more sayim. Riba b'midat sayim shalayim, or shemiyat b'midat sayim shalayim, there it's ksheirot. So if you, the raw material you processed, instead of from 3 sayim, you processed it from 10 sayim, let's say. That doesn't matter. That's fine. And the truth is, even if you processed it from less, which implies you to have less quality, it's also fine. All of this is l'mitzvah, but not la'akev. And now an overworked Sir Richard is still with us.
Oh, wow.
Great. Ha'omer hayam menufe b'shalosh esrei nafa. So the way that we brought the Omer is we needed 13 different sieves to pass it through. And this is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, that's the way that we're mechuyev to deal with it. Obviously, the Shlosh Esrei is meant to have itself special significance. Shtei Halachem, the Halacha is that you use 12 sieves, and the Lechem Apanim, you only need 11 sieves. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, there was no particular when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, that's the Pashtus, the way Rashi understands over here, that the Machlokas is only Minogea, the last part, which is the Lechem Aponim, that the Lechem Aponim, lo yalein kitzva, the Torah did not insist that you do the sifting in any particular way. You can go, as we're going to see, Rabbi Shimon says, you can go out and you can buy it straight as solas from the marketplace. So you don't need to actually do all of the sifting anyway. Shinemar, all that you need is the solat minupa called sarkaya, maybe, as long as it was high-quality flour. Since it says v'lakachta solat v'afitavta, you can just buy the flour, so that means if I can go to the shuk and I can identify an isaron of high-quality flour, I can just buy it there. I don't need to sit there and worry about how many sieves it went through. So that means the only thing that you need is to be able to identify it as high quality, which means that it's gone through the whole thing. Tana Rabbana. Bidaka begasa, bidaka begasa. Now, how exactly did we do this? So there's many machlokes about how to understand exactly what we're about to learn. So the Pashtus is bidaka begasa, bidaka begasa. Means that we alternate the sieves. So we've got fine resolution sieves, and we've got sieves that are not as refined, right? So we have fine sieves, coarse sieves. Now, it's very nohug today, if you have filters, water filters, air filters, that there's two different sieves, so to speak, two different filters that you go through, even though you'd think, I mean, why do I need two different filters? If I have the smaller, as small as I want it, why can't I just use the smallest size filter, the finest filter, and then I'll get out what I want? The reason is because it's very difficult to filter that way, because larger pieces stop up your filter, and because of that, it's not an efficient way to filter. So you'll see that industrial filters are done exactly like this. You alternate filters. And so here, the way of understanding bedaka begasa, bedaka begasa, is that you have these 13 filters, and they're in order, let's call them 1 through 13, right? So they're in order of fineness and so on. So we'll start with the top, and we'll go all the way down to the coarsest filter at the end. And what would that mean? It would mean that first, what you want to do is you want to get rid of all of the thin kind of dust and stuff that can just get stuck in there, and that's not going to be able to come out to separate it out properly. If you start just doing it with a large and keep going down, what we'd like to do is we'd like to have a filter in which the only thing that's going to get next to those holes in the filter is dust that can fall through that filter. So we pass first our coarse flour with all of the dust and dirt that's in it. the larger particles are not going to have anything to do with this filter. They're way too big. And that will allow the dust, very fine dust, to fall through. Now that we got rid of that fine dust, let's take what comes out of that filter, throw it away, and take now what's left inside the filter and put it into another filter. That filter is going to be the least fine filter. It's going to be the coarsest filter. So we're going to put it through, actually, a coarse filter, the coarsest filter. Now, the coarsest filter is going to allow the biggest pieces to go through. All right? Then that leaves us with a slightly better flour than we had before, but it's still got a lot of junk that's left in it. And because of that, we have to put it through again. So now let's put it through the remaining filter. So we'll put it through the next to the finest filter to get out the next level of avak and dust, the dirt of that level. So it will allow slightly larger particles to go through that were still left behind before. And then we put that back into the next coarsest. So in other words, we're going to do basically the first one, 1 and 13, and then we'll do the 3 and 11 and 4 and 10 and 5 and 9 and so on and so forth. And we'll alternate back and forth until we get it pure. Okay, that's one way of learning it. That's how Rashi in the Ksav Yad over here, the bottom Rashi, explains it. Now, not everybody learns it like that. And basically, there's a different... They bring Rashi differently also, that according to supposedly he also said this, but certainly as Rabbeinu Gershon is brought over here, it actually, there were only two different sieves, and we use them in alternate ways. So we use a fine one and a coarse one. We don't have 13 different ones. It means that we do 13 different times we do this. And the Pashtus is, according to this approach, that means that we do it 26 times. In other words, each one, each filter is a double filter, fine coarse. Now put it through again, fine coarse. And therefore, when you do it 13 times, it means you do it 13 times as fine coarse. As far as the Shita that we're now going to learn, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar on there, Shlosh esrei nafot hayu b'migdash, zo l'mala miso v'zo l'mala miso. There were actually 13 different sieves, and that would mean not like the Rabbeinu Peretz, right? Not like the Rabbeinu Gershon. And he's, according to this, he would be arguing. Whereas Rashi learns, he's not arguing. He's just explaining that there were 13 different levels of coarser to fine filters. And there's Zula Malamizu, Vizula Malamizu, Eliana collected Subim, and the Tachtona is collected Solet, and now you basically choose. So the coarse one, the very coarse one, that's going to be basically collecting the junk that's left over. The bottom one at the end, that's going to be the thing that allows you, after you went through all of the process, it's going to be the one that's got the fine flour. And it only lets out the dust that was remaining. However, Rashi, not in the Ksav Yad, learns that this is actually chilek, and that what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says is that we're not so worried about gumming up the filter, and we simply have a 13-stage filtration process, starting with the coarsest and going down to the finest. And we don't do the alternating bidaka bagasa, bidaka bagasa. So, okay, if the filter gets stuffed, so you put in a different filter. So, I mean, basically the results would be the same. The question is on the efficiency and how many filters are going to be messing up on the way. But the idea is clear. Rabbi Shimon said, well, there wasn't any particular number. So again, Rashi learned that that was referring, that's the Pashas of the Sugya, it's only referring to the Lechem HaPonim. And that is going to be different than the others. So Tana Rabbana, since it says, Solet, you should bring Solet, v'afita ota. So it doesn't say anything about making it. The Pashas says you can go to the market and you can buy it. That teaches us that you could just go and buy solet in the store. So obviously, I don't have to do the sifting. And if I don't have to do the sifting, you can't tell. I'm not going to be able to tell how this was done. I can only tell that it is actually done nicely. It's done properly. How they did it with 13 filters, whatever, who cares? If the Torah says you can buy it, that's not my business. Uminayin. How do we know that you don't have to buy it like that? You could buy just gross chitim and take care of it yourself. So that's why it says v'lakachta. Lakachta would mean however you want to do it. Now you might think you could do this for any mincha. Talmud lomar ota. This is not true. You could just go out and buy it and sift it. There you have to actually make sure that it is done properly. That's why it says over here, dafka v'lechem ha'panim. And why should it be dafka v'lechem ha'panim? Mipnei ha'chisachon. It's simply because we're trying to save money. What do you mean? Well, I mean, think about it. The lechem ha'panim is a lot of lechem. And it's 24 lechemim. You're going to have to do it. If you're going to get sifted like this, you're going to be going through all of these 24 soyim every single week, and you got to do all of that yourself. And I mean, if we could save money by doing it commercially, you're going to save a lot of money. And when we say that saving money is important, how do we know that? Mai mipnei achisachon? Omar Rabbi Elazar, because we have a Gabi rule, which is called, let's see those flying sparks, Mr. Gabi. That is HaTorah Chasa Amamonim Shal Yisrael. The Torah is makpid not to waste money from Klal Yisrael. And even though you'd say, does it matter that much? Yes. Where do we see that? Hecher Amiza, Dichti Vishkita Te'eda Ve'et Bi'iram. Now, I mean, look, you know, Moshe is supposed to be talking to rocks, making water. And I mean, this is like heavy duty miracles, you know? So what is Rashi, what is the tzivui to Moshe Rabbeinu? Not just, these guys are very thirsty and who knows, get them water. No, make sure you got enough water there for all the animals and we don't have any fatalities. I mean, Akash Broker's got to worry about the animals. Yes, that's the point. If the Am needs Mayim, then it needs Mayim for Bi'iram as well. Now, why in the world we use this particular limud? Why don't we use the limud? That's a lot of discussion that the Achronim speak about. Why don't we use the limud that the Torah tells the tzaras, the bias of tzaras, you're supposed to get the tzivak, and to get rid of all of the things in the house so that they don't become tame, as the Gemara points out. Who cares? Just put them in a mikvah. So it must be that we're talking about garbage, right? Klicheres, that you can't be metayer in a mikvah. So you see that the Torah is makbid. So why do we need both of those limudim? A lot of discussion of what would we not know if we wouldn't have learned it from SB Iram. But Richie is waiting, and he's been practicing all day and drinking those really tough to drink Gogo Muggles just to keep that voice in order. So let's give it to him. Hadron aloch elu minachot nikmatzot.
Bli neder.
Wow.
I won't function.
You won't function?
I won't function. enough for tonight.
I see. You've had it. Okay. All right. Baruch Hashem. So let's hope that we have a quiet night with lots of besuras teves, with the next step of our geula coming quickly. Halavai. And we'll see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. And then we'll be able to continue, hopefully also be able to continue doing our, under the leadership, of course, of Richie, to be able to continue to Uktzin. Shavua tov, everyone. Yinei El Yeshua Si. Eftach, ve'lo efchad.